Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, apart from the usual nonsense that Max and I discuss, we chatted to Sam Billings, Kent and England, and the Oval Invincibles. He's in the 100 draft, of course, and will be taking part in that. Robert Scheller joined us, didn't he, from SoccerBot 360.
Yes, absolutely. Talking about not a robotic footballer, much to my disappointment, but an interesting bit of kit.
Yeah, interesting bit of kit that costs the same price as one of the Norwich defenders. Also, Daniel Robinson, lovely heartwarming tale, hands across the water football tale from Canada. So I think that's about it, isn't it?
Robots, scarves and Billings.
Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Yeah. Did you watch the Brighton Palace game? I had one eye on it.
It was
absolute. I mean, it's a sort of travesty, isn't it? I thought when Newcastle got that point at Spurs, I thought the decent thing would be for Steve Bruce to say, actually, we'll give you that back. Right. We don't deserve that. You know, it's that Eric Dyer handball VAR thing.
See, if it was Corinthian Casuals last night, Corinthian Casuals would have said, I'm sorry, we're not accepting the result.
100%. We can't take... I know it's against our rivals, but there's no justice, is there?
I suppose the first reaction, of course, if you're a Palace player, is just a laugh. I mean, you're obviously elation. And then to think, blimey, how did we win that in the dress? But Roy Hodgson after the game, I love the way that managers are so philosophical. When they get sawn off, they rage. When they get the rub of the green, it's, well, these things average themselves out over a season. And, you know, Roy has been around football a lot and he's rarely seen daylight robbery to that extent in his long life. But this is what Roy had to say. Yes, the game is not about touches in the opposition box, because I think Palace had two in the whole match. The statistic that counts is goals against and goals scored. I'm not going to apologise for coming away with what we consider to be a very good victory. No one expects you to, but had Roy been sawn off, would he have been that philosophical about it? Had he been on the receiving end?
Part of me expects him to. Part of me expects him to say at the end of that game, do you know what? I know our fans might not like it in the short term, but Brighton, here are these 3 points. We don't deserve them. Even I didn't think, as Christian Benteke was lining up, technically quite a difficult volley. Yeah. You know, the ball's a bit behind him, isn't it? It's a tight angle. Even I thought, Roy saying, I didn't really back Christian to put that one away. You must see Dan Byrne.
If you're betting him running with that ball in the air,
you're
not betting player. You're saying it's going into Rose.
As the ball was getting closer, to Ben Teke,
the odds
are getting bigger, actually, as it hits his foot.
Yeah.
And you could see Dan Byrne, obviously, you know, everyone's tired in the 95th minute, whatever.
Do you think he's possibly doing a Tim Lovejoy saying, don't worry, it's only Ben Teke?
Probably.
Do you think he was doing that?
I reckon that's what Dan Byrne did.
Yeah,
probably. But
both great goals. Wonderful. The back heel was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, Alan Smith, who I love, said in commentary, there's still a bit to do there for Matata. Still a bit, blimey. I mean, he got more power in that than I have kicking it forwards. I was really impressed. And I think you'll be with me on this. I would like... it's probably best for Crystal Palace to sign Juan Mata rather than for Manchester United to sign Matata. But if they could both be on the same pitch...
Juan Mata, Matata...
Exactly.
That would be good,
Some intricate interplay between the two of them.
Yeah.
Matata, Mata...
Is it okay?
Mata,
is there anybody Matata else you'd want to sign
that rhymes with that.
That Matter, rhymes with that.
I don't have it.
Really,
I don't have
it. You stop
me.
I didn't know you were going to do that.
Matter, Matata, Well, Sepp Blatter, maybe.
You're not signing Sepp Blatter. even Ed Woodward won't sign an 84-year-old bloke.
Heads would turn. They're like, is that deal?
Been ostracised from the game of football.
Say there must be something dodgy in that deal if Sepp Blatter's coming in. Matter.
Ollie sitting in the press conference trying to defend signing a bloke in his mid-80s who's a pariah in the world.
Yeah, but
football.
How much fun for Sam Matterface next time to say.
Yeah, Sam Matter. He'd have to be the commentator, wouldn't he, obviously.
Saw the Villa players have been banned from playing fantasy football. Mm. Is footballers playing fantasy football, is that a bit like, you know, you going home and doing Radio Paul Hawksby in your shed?
Well, or is that footballers... have you not been listening?
do you do that when you get home?
Obviously. I do drive time.
Mike says Alvaro Morata, of course.
Alvaro Morata, of course.
Morata, Mata, Matata. What a wonderful... That could be a great forward line, wouldn't it? We'll play Mata just in behind Matata and Morata. I was thinking about that. Why footballers... It is a bit like footballers playing FIFA, isn't it? You've done the football, so you need to go and then recreate the football. Playing fantasy football.
Mm.
I mean, I did host a show for a few years called Fantasy Football, and I thought fantasy football was really quite a boring subject, but I didn't mention it at the time. Contractually,
just,
it seemed unwise.
You just took the money and went home.
I did, absolutely right. Much like now.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Max.
That's all right.
I actually don't like the show, but, you know, they keep paying me, so I'll keep turning up, said Max to me off air earlier on. It might be interesting from the listeners. You thought we would discover some of the things that maybe the listeners have been banned from, within reason.
Yeah, so it's you know, fantasy football's an inoffensive thing, isn't it? But the Aston Villa players, Conor Hourihan and Matt Target, now not allowed to complete their seasons in fantasy football. Right. Just inoffensive things that you were banned from as a kid, or maybe are banned from now.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the Tin Booney says, I was allowed to watch anything on TV. A lot of these are TV based.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, as long as it wasn't The Cook Report. I have no idea why. I never got to watch it.
Well, they used to have a bit of bleep sparing when Roger, swearing, should I say. Did you ever watch The Cook Report?
I saw him running away from a gang.
He would put it started out as a radio show, but then it went to TV, and he would put his foot in the door. And it was a bit like Watchdog, you know, those bits when they doorstep some rogue builder, something like that, rogue traders type thing. But that was his gig. And he'd say, you know, Mr. Smith, and they'd run down the road with a hand over their face, and they'd F and Jeff a bit, but they'd bleep it. So maybe it was the parents thinking they didn't want the bleep swearing. I don't know.
A few people were banned from watching Grange Hill. Richard says it would. I was banned from watching Grange Hill because it would make me common. He says,
God, make me common.
Josh says I was banned from watching Jurassic Park because a kid in my mum's class kept thinking a dinosaur was going to. My mum was a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Kept thinking a dinosaur was going to eat him every time he went to the loo.
that scene. Bloke. Yeah, the guy. Yeah. Wasn't that the fella who played Newman in... Wasn't he the guy on the loo of the first Jurassic Park film? I seem to remember that. I could be completely wrong. Or maybe it's just a bloke who looked like him. But I seem to remember, because the dinosaur does say, "Hello, Newman," just before he eats him, which is one of the best parts of that first film. Don't want to spoil it for you.
Danny says, of course, what about Leandro Bacuna? Then you could sing Bacuna Matata. Thanks, I'm here all day.
Oh, yeah, thanks very
wonderful.
Much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Keep telling us about the things you've been banned from. I was banned from playing Connect 4 in the Wheat Sheaf Snook, as I just could not be beaten, says Ben, the Spurs fan from Fareham.
Club 99 says, I was banned from having a Funnel Parker coat. Much to my annoyance, my mum hated them. She actually brought me one once, showed it to me, and then took it straight back to the shop as she still hated them.
I had one of those. Alan Hudson struck a ball at me at White Hart Lane once when Chelsea beat us in a League Cup semi-final. And it went right down my Funnel Parker and hit me in the face. It was like Indiana Jones. I saw it coming. I couldn't do anything about it.
It was the big orb.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything about it. Well. Good old Al. Anyway, Norwich, it looks like, are the first club in this country to make a fairly sizable investment, some £750,000, into SoccerBot 360. The best probably way to describe it is you think of kind of cage football, but cage football in the round, if you like. Mm. There's video walls around the player, and it develops reaction speed, decision making. A lot of German clubs have invested already. Let's find out more from SoccerBot 360. Robert Shelley joins us. Good afternoon, Robert.
Good afternoon. Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah, good, thank you. Yes, I mean, that was my very basic description of what it is. But tell us more and what it does.
Well, it was a quite good description. It's pretty difficult to explain it via phone. So you have to imagine there's a 360 virtual world, and within the 360 virtual world, we develop training programs working with beamer projection and the high-speed camera that is targeted to train cognitive abilities, just like reaction, anticipation, attention, and cognitive flexibility. The core idea is to get faster and better decisions of players. So that's more or less the core topic of our work.
So is the design to improve players or to find out if they're any good in the first place?
Both. At first, you need to have a benchmarking, let's say, a diagnostic test. Red Bull Salzburg, for example, and at Red Bull Leipzig, they're doing this annually with all the players in the academy. And when you have a certain evaluation, you can train very targeted, improve strengths and weaknesses. And it's for both, for diagnostics and obviously also for training.
So the clubs that have used this for a long time, say Salzburg or Leipzig, would they put young academy products in there and make a decision on them based on what SoccerBot says more than what, say, a human coach might say?
Let's say that a good example is, for example, in Red Bull Salzburg, whenever there is a new player or a young player, they have a certain kind of evaluation. They have to go through various tests before they even are allowed to attend at the academy. And the SoccerBot test is one of the tests they have to go through. And this is one of the assessments, besides of other assessments by human beings, that makes the decision if there is a real talent or not. Even more, reliable, let's say.
There are kind of FIFA-like representations of the players, so it's not just sort of lights flashing or beeps. It kind of feels quite real when the player's in there because they're seeing players in different kits from different clubs. So it feels quite realistic.
Yeah, this is another software package we deliver. You know, you have to imagine that the SoccerBot is some kind of a platform for various types of software, like apps. And this is the analysis license. That means that we use existing position data that's coming, for example, from Caramigo in the Premier League. And we transfer this position data into a 360 virtual replacement of the actual match. And whatever you know from analysis, you see it always from an eagle eye perspective. But in this case, you can go into the viewer, the player's perspective. So this is what makes it new. So each and every coach and player can go inside the SoccerBot and see the match again from each angle.
And a coach can work on a player's perceived weakness. If they've noticed in a game scenario that maybe a player's not so great doing this, maybe sort of opening up on his right-hand side or keeping on the half turn, as Glenn likes to say. See, that's something you can work on. They can program a set of things in-game that would allow you just to work on those specifics that they feel is a weakness.
Yeah, that's a part of the analysis. But what you can also do is to go into recurrent match situations and train the next decision inside the match with a pass. So this is one software package we call interactive scenes. A certain scene starts, and the player can play inside the SoccerBot. Then the next passing, and the coach can assess: is this the right decision? Also, according to the philosophy of the club, because usually some clubs have different philosophies of playing. So this can be replayed in the SoccerBot quite good.
I don't know if this you have this in Germany, but over here there's a kind of divide between what's known as kind of the football dinosaurs, who are, you know, old school 4-4-2, don't play out from the back, and then there's the sort of football hipster that adopt everything, you know, everything new and take it immediately, and they sort of sometimes you sort of have to make a decision on which side you're on. Have you had sort of very differing reactions from different football clubs or different people in football to this?
Definitely, it depends. It's the same in Germany, by the way, also with associations, not only with clubs. It depends a lot of the philosophy. As you can imagine, Red Bull Salzburg, Red Bull Leipzig, they have a certain philosophy. They rather want to make talents grow. Some others just want to purchase players and do it like this. Whenever there is a club or association that has the philosophy to really work with talents, to develop own driven values, we're ready to help them. This is rather our partners we have.
Nice. And it will help if Norwich get promoted, won't it, really? That would be good for business.
Definitely, but I think in a certain way, and among the coaches and a certain type of people, we are already aware. We had very good discussions with Norwich, with Stuart Webber, and also the owners' couple. It was they really want to develop something long term, and that's what makes the decision also very easy for us.
Interesting. Good to talk to you, Robert. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Go and check out the SoccerBot 360 website and you can see it in action. It's good, isn't it? I can imagine it would be a fun thing to do for players as well.
Yeah.
Could check it out on their peripheral vision and stuff like that.
This is from Shilly. I think Huddersfield must have already invested in this 360 box but surrounded by images of car parks because that's where the ball ends up 90% of the time. And Alan Hudson has been in touch,
I know,
Paul.
Yes. Oh, tremendous.
He says, I remember that game well, Paul. Apologies for hitting you with a shot.
I was in the kids' enclosure and we lost that game. Chelsea went to the final and they lost to Stoke in the final. We'd won it the year before at Wembley. Right. We'd beaten Villa.
Do you accept Alan Hudson's
apology? Of course.
Apology?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I never.
Marvellous. Bringing people together.
I know he wasn't aiming for me. He just drilled a ball in.
He was that good.
I don't like the look of him. He honestly was that good. He could have picked me out if he'd wanted to.
He didn't need a soccer bot, did he?
No, he didn't.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us about various things you've been banned from. Apparently, the Villa players banned from fantasy football. I was banned from watching the Karate Kid as I kept trying the crane on my younger sister, says Matthew in Sussex. I imagine that was quite common, wasn't it, really? Yeah.
Adam says, I had the VHS copy of the second series of Men Behaving Badly taken off me when I was 12 for quoting it too much. I maintain that they didn't really behave too badly. Paul says, I was banned from watching Mr. Bean. My mam said it would make me act like an idiot. And Carl says, I was banned from drinking ginger beer. My mum didn't like the idea of me drinking any kind of beer, no matter what the Famous Five did.
That's right. When I was a kid, from the ice cream van, we used to buy the beer lolly, which of course contained no beer.
Did you pretend to be a little squiffy?
Yeah. I used to reel around pretending I was drunk after my beer, after my Shandy Bass. I used to feel quite dangerous with a little can of Shandy Bass.
During the Soccer AM glory years, we supported Genk in the Champions League, and we took some fans on a bus to Genk, and we went to watch Genk play, I forget, Chelsea or someone. And I drank quite a lot of beer in the stadium and was swaying around quite merry, and it was alcohol free.
it's all in
it's
the
a
mind.
It's placebo, isn't it?
It is all in the mind. David Spencer, our head of news here, said, I was banned from having football stickers when I was 8 after a dispute my dad had with the company. That's very specific. Even now, I feel guilty if I consider getting them.
Of all the disputes, that's the worst possible dispute your parents could have with anyone else. It's fine, but football stickers, it's that essential. Like, poor David, everyone at 8, all you want is Panini 86.
Imagine the kids in the playground. They've got all their Panini and their Merlins, and there's one boy with the Spencer collection of stickers. Who's got their Spencer? Who wants to swap the Spencer stickers?
Alan says, when we were very young, we were banned from chewing gum as it would, quote, pull the white off your teeth. Henry said, my wife banned me from using Cameo. Cameo is that sort of internet thing where you can pay somebody to get a birthday
Not the band. Okay.
Apparently getting Dean Windass to wish my mate Merry Christmas was a step too far.
Okay.
And Stricky says, I was banned from watching WWE. I had to sneak and watch it on low volume so parents wouldn't hear. In hindsight, I have no clue what the issue would be with watching WWE.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, the 100 ball cricket competition, all new, slightly delayed, of course, because of the virus from last year, gets underway this summer. And men's and women's tournament, of course, each squad made up of 15 players, a maximum of 3 overseas stars. They've been having the draft to the kind of second draft. The first draft happened, late 2019, where our next guest was picked up as a second-round pick, I believe, much to the hilarity of some of his England teammates. Sam Billings joins us. Are you, Sam?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, you got a bit of clonk for that at the time, didn't you, that you weren't a first-round draft?
Oh, they were taking the mickey, but, quite a few of the guys had kind of agreed pre-draft agreements, so I was hopeful. And yeah, I mean, I've had the last laugh. I actually got picked higher in the draft than some of them. So it's all good banter in the end anyway. Mm.
Didn't you get stick as well from Mrs. Billings over the IPL auction?
She wanted to know why you weren't a bowler, apparently.
Yeah, that was that went viral, which she wasn't very happy with after. In the first round, I actually didn't get sold and, made a joke at the expense of myself. And she actually turned to me and said, well, all these bowlers are getting sold. Why aren't you a bowler? So, can't hide anywhere. Get stick from all angles.
Is that quite a strange, that moment when you're watching the IPL draft, is that quite if you don't go in the first one, you're thinking, well, I might not go at all. Like, what? Because, this is a decent amount of money we're talking about at the time. And it's a great experience as well. Were you always confident you would get picked up?
No, there's an appreciation that there's no guarantees. It's the best players in the world and there's limited slots at the end of the day. And with any kind of auction and draft, there's a lot of luck in when you get pulled out, your lot number, essentially. So, like I said, very grateful and very lucky that that I got the shout and got bought by Delhi. So, yeah. I think, as you alluded to, it's one of the best competitions. Well, it is the best franchise competition in the world. And an experience of playing cricket in India is one that no one should take lightly. And it's kind of like football is over in this country, but times by 10, the passion for the game is phenomenal. And like I said, very lucky to be involved in that competition.
Now, we have high hopes for the 100 as well as it gets ever closer. Your oval invincibles and the team's been taking shape. And you're pleased with the players that have been picked up today?
Well, as you said, no one's going to come on here and say no. So, but I think it's pretty clear to see the quality that we've got throughout that side. In terms of the depth, Tom Moody's done an amazing job putting that together. And the international quality in all different positions is what you want in a franchise tournament. And like I said, that depth is there for all to see. So we've done very well in the auction. And someone like Colin Ingram is a very, very clever pick-up in that third overseas slot. And we see in franchise tournaments now I think in all sport, that experience goes a long way, especially to winning tournaments. It gets you across the line in those tight games. And you look at all those names, a lot of guys have played international cricket, but also franchise cricket around the world. So hopefully that can hold us in good stead.
Now, hopefully I've got my maths right. The difference between 2020 and the 100 is 20 deliveries. What difference do you think that will have, if any, on the cricket itself?
It will just obviously condense the game slightly. And I think the kind of tactical nuances that are going to be introduced with the ability to bowl 2 overs from one bowler in a row and little kind of tactics, it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of plays out. The element of matchups is felt so much around the world now that a certain bowler against a certain batsman can be really, really good, and that's what you look for. So with that kind of two overs in a row, that's going to play a huge part, I think. So there's going to be little differences, and like I said, ultimately the game's just going to speed up a bit more. It's going to be quick. It's going to be fast, and it would be great entertainment.
We'll all have our different ways of choosing the franchise we follow. It could be favourite players. From my point of view, I'm a Middlesex fan, and the skipper is looking after London Spirit. They're playing at Lord's, so I'll be very much rooting for London Spirit. Max is also a London Spirit fan, but that's because he likes Tyrrell's crisps.
Well, I didn't
and
know.
And they'll be on the shirts.
I didn't realise they were all sponsored. We'll have some of the colours of the, you know, the crisps. So you know, I don't know who. I know is I know the sponsors. I don't know which team is which. So like, I can see McCoy's, Hula Hoops and Skips. But the Tyrrell's Naked, which is a salt-free crisp.
Okay.
It's an excellent
crisp. It sounds
crisp.
Like you're angling for a box, actually, Max. I'd leave it there.
I was the face of McCoy's once, so I'm deserting my former club. Who sponsors you, Sam? Do you know?
KP Nuts, so not a fan.
We've got to get Kevin Peterson out of retirement, haven't we, for KP Nuts? And along with Alan Butterkiss, the old North Ants bowler. We've got to get him out of retirement.
Absolutely.
I wondered if there was anyone in your... Is there anyone in your squad, Sam, with a nut allergy? It'd be quite an issue, that, wouldn't it?
The shirts aren't impregnated with nut oil.
They don't put a few little nuts down the middle. Yeah. It's a stupid question. I take it back, Sam.
No, I don't know my teammates that well yet. Give me a chance.
It's interesting. When they talked about the franchise and the way they would work, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, as I said, there are certain players. There are players in your team, like Curran and Burns, that are very much of Surrey, of the Oval. So, but we got Mark Wood, London Spirit. I can't think of a bloke who's less London than Woody, can you, really? But there he is turning out in the posh part of North London.
Exactly. He doesn't like busy traffic and too many people around. So, yeah, it'd be great for him, I think. It would be a great experience. And, I mean, he's very lucky. He loves bowling at Lord's. So I think that's the great thing, that people will leave their hometown clubs to have a kind of a new franchise, a new experience in a completely new environment. And I think certainly for the younger players, they'll benefit hugely from that. Actually, going into a foreign dressing room with all these different players, with the best players in the world, it's an opportunity that I've been very lucky to have throughout the franchise tournaments around the world. But certainly for the young English guys coming through, that's invaluable experience that will be great. And I think ultimately English cricket will benefit on the back of that. So that's definitely one very good thing to come out of this, hopefully.
The year that we've kind of missed in this, I think people are really going to embrace it now. They're desperate for live sport. Yeah. They're desperate to go and watch games and, you know, enjoy themselves, have a pint, watch a game. It will be, and I know it's a big sort of family focus as well. People are going to want to take their families to see some live sport. So I imagine the turnout will be huge.
Absolutely. That's what we're hoping for as players. We've seen it with all different sports that sport without the crowds is a completely different beast, and we as players miss that fan interaction and people enjoying the sport. We're all fans ourselves, so we want to experience those environments and the atmosphere. Certainly like the Kia Oval, that's as good an atmosphere that I've ever played at, so hopefully we can share that with 28,000 people, especially against the London Spirit turnovers. Boys over against you boys. So
I'm gonna try and get tickets for that. It's quite early on now. I'll try and get. It's always a bit tasty when it doesn't. You know,
I'll be there with my packet of Tyrrells.
Yeah, of course you'll be waving
your Tyrrell. I'm a Tyrrells ultra.
Big Tyrrells flag. Marvellous. Okay, all the best then, Sam.
Cheers,
good to
Sam.
Talk to you. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There we are, we're at Sam Billings. There will be taking part in the 100 with the Oval Invincibles. And we talked a lot about the 100 and a bit of scepticism, feeling is it a tournament too far and just shaving 20 balls off. But now it's here and we've been starved of live sport. I'll be very much up for going to a game.
Dress Mark Wood up as a pearly king just to get him in the London spirit.
They'd have to do that, wouldn't they? Not St John's Wood. I mean, he'd have a monocle and a top hat or something. They'd have to do do.
Funny a penny farthing.
He won't like it. He won't like being cockneyed up, will he? They'll just have to they get Harmy to phone him and say, oh, yeah, I've got a photo shoot sorted for you. That would be good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Josh in Luton has texted 8 to 1089 to say, lads, can you please just address the fact that Max has gone viral overnight on Twitter, dancing around in a pub. Serious moves on display, especially when he was slapping a bar stool.
Yeah.
It's been put out on the H&J account. I've had to deny this is me before. This is not a new clip.
I mean, I've got to be honest. I've seen it before, and I saw it again last night, and it does really look like you. It's basically when Spoons goes wild. It's some people that basically turn it into a nightclub.
But there's so much to unpick, isn't there? Because there's like the 4:36 from Wincanton on in the background. So it's clearly, you know, in the daytime. So that's clearly like early afternoon.
Yeah, this they got in there at opening time. Yeah. And it looks like they're having a bit of a party. It could be like a wedding.
Yeah.
But and there's a guy in a he looks like Andy Bell from Erasure. Clothes. It looks like, imagine Max Rushton dressed as Andy Bell.
Yeah.
I'm dancing around a pub, banging a chair in time to a number of ladies dancing.
Yeah. It isn't me.
No, I mean, see, if it was me, I'd want to distance myself from that scenario. So I can understand why you say it isn't. You saying that isn't me now? I'm a different person these days, or you say that isn't
just,
you?
I suspect at some point. I mean, I don't know if you think this, Paul. I'm really pleased there weren't camera phones when I was sort of 20. I think anyone who wasn't filmed in their nightclub years is very much benefits from life. You know, the fact there isn't just like reams of footage of me doing that. I don't think I'd ever be quite that skimpily dressed.
Have you ever been shocked as your mates or teammates or missus ever said, do you know what you were doing last night? I mean, have you ever been surprised by your behaviour and don't remember doing it? You don't strike me as a man who's really out of control.
I'm always asleep at 11. So wherever I am, so like I've fallen asleep in a lot of nightclub toilets and on speakers and things like that. But I'm the first one to go, basically.
Yeah.
Or the kind of just disappear into the night. I have a question for you.
By the way, it's up at TSH&J. If you've not seen the video in question, that's Max. That's Max all day.
Some poor bloke trying to take a phone call in the back. I don't even, I can't hear you. I'm going to go outside.
I wouldn't distance yourself. There's a few people just sitting there watching the game, having a drink while all this is going on. But it does look like you. But there's good moves. I wouldn't distance yourself from that. Go and check it out, folks, at TSH&J.
How much would you pay to live next door to Ian Woosnam?
Wow, that's a good question. Whereabouts? In what part of the world?
Barbados.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, that's up the ante a bit.
Okay.
How much would I pay to live next door to Woozy?
Yes.
Just to be able to shout over the wall about the number of clubs in his bag just now and again. Just, oi, Woozy!
25 grand a week, would you?
No, that's probably pushing
it a little bit. Sandy Lyle, 25 grand is fine, but for Woozy. That's Wayne Rooney.
He'd be a good neighbour. I mean, you'd have fun chats, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah. I think I agree with you. He'd come over for a drink, wouldn't he, sometimes?
25 grand a week.
Wayne and Colleen Rooney own a place. This is a Daily Mail that has spread of places you can't afford. Yeah. They do that quite a lot. Here's some places you can't afford. And it included, you know, where Cliff Richard is living in the Caribbean and Mick Jagger's got a place somewhere. Anyway, very smart, very new. The Rooney's Barbados home is on the Royal Westmoreland Estate. Has a stunning golf course. If you rent it, there's a free round of golf and a golf buggy included each day. You have spent 25 grand to rent the place for a week.
Mm.
The Rooney's tastes are generally minimalist and none too colourful, with lots of cream leather sofas. How many cream leather sofas do you need? Do you think they have 10?
But those young, I mean, they've got a lot of young kids, haven't they? Cream leather sofas and kids with a bar of Cadbury's in their back pocket.
True.
It's not ideal.
But leather's quite sort of wiped down, isn't it? It's a wiped down
nice
material.
Nice to be practical about it, but you
wouldn't want a Hessian sofa.
You wouldn't want a Hessian sofa. I wouldn't go into that particular business. That's why I'm out.
Yeah.
Not Michael Hessian. Yeah. Michael, if you're listening, we're not having a go at your sofas.
No, that's why I went into business. When they asked me for my 3 years, figures.
Hessian sofas.
They said, look, and what are your projections? I said, I'm not very good with the numbers, but my advocate is downstairs.
Yeah.
It was Michael Hessian. But he didn't swing it for me.
Oh, he didn't really,
Hessian sofas, I don't know.
Sam has decided he can't finish the presentation, so I was called up the former Chelsea player to help him out. Theo doesn't look impressed.
You did call me Sam against Paul.
Do I keep
20 times, and I'm going to ask for a pound from you. So you're on about 9 or 10.
You could easily be a Sam.
Well, I could, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we'll move on.
Is it Mataface? Is that what? Is that the? Is that it?
No, I don't know what it is. It's just that? I don't know. It's just one of those Max, yeah. Sam, Tom.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
I know what you mean.
Identikit sort of names.
Just remember me as that bloke who was dancing in the pub, yeah. slapping the chair.
Oh, well, that's how I always remember you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You've been telling us this afternoon about stuff that you got banned from doing, and Ian from Bexley says I was banned from watching Bill and Ben, the Flowerpot Men. Many years ago, because my mum said it wouldn't make me talk properly, apparently. So, do you remember Bill and Ben, Max?
I know of them.
You probably remember the reboot, don't you? Not the first time around.
David says, my wife was never allowed to watch the 80s tea time TV favourite, Robin of Sherwood, because her mum thought the theme tune said Robin the Hooligan, as opposed to the Hooded Man.
Ah.
Sensational. You will not watch something that has hooligan.
And that was enough, was it?
Yeah.
Now, it's not the obvious trade, is it? Maple syrup for a football scarf. But
not done it before.
And our next guest, Daniel Robinson, has been doing just that in lockdown, and he has amassed quite the collection. So where did this fairly bizarre idea come from? Good afternoon, Daniel. Or good morning for you.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a bit of a time difference there, but how are you guys doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, I believe you're just outside of Toronto, is that right?
Right, just in the greater Toronto area, as we call it over here.
Okay. So how did this sort of idea come to you?
Right. I know it's definitely not the most cliche idea, but one day, a while ago, I was just talking with some friends about how much we missed going to the games and how much of an escape that was from the day-to-day life, right? And that got us to watching some videos online of different supporters from around the world. And no matter the different, you know, football cultures and supporting cultures that there are around the world and the different unique ways that they all support, there was one thing that really stood out to me that all the fans sort of had in common, and that was football scarves. So then I thought, you know, maybe it would be a cool idea to start this little project where I don't only just focus on football, but then I also focus on, you know, a little bit of a cultural exchange. So then that's how I came up with the idea to sort of trade a little bit of my culture, maple syrup. You know, it's a very Canadian thing for a football scarf. And then whatever other items they wanted to send that was kind of part of their culture or country.
So you basically, how did you tell people? You went on social media of some sort, I guess, to say, does anybody want some maple syrup? I'll give you some in return for a scarf. Is that how it worked?
Right. So I decided to go on Reddit because I've always heard good things about the people on there being very welcoming. And I knew that there was different subreddits, as they're called, little groups where people would go and you could go and ask things about certain countries. So then I went on there and I basically just told them about my request, who I am and how I was looking to get a collection of football scarves from every country in the world. And I was wondering if anybody wanted to send me one in exchange for some maple syrup. So then I got a lot of responses, definitely more than I was expecting. So that was great.
And get us an idea of where, you know, the countries, because I've watched your YouTube film. I've just tweeted it out. It's a really lovely film, sort of heartwarming of sort of bringing people together from around the world. And so, you know, and it is literally, you know, all corners of the globe, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah, I've definitely gone every continent. You know, I was definitely really surprised about certain countries like Belarus and Mongolia, even just countries you would never expect, Nigeria, Senegal, all these countries really helping out and just so interested. Everybody loved the idea and it turned out great.
How many more do you want? Have you got a sort of, is there a kind of ceiling on this or will you keep going?
Yeah, so as of now, I have 127, including the new ones that I've gotten since the video. Hmm. But like I said, my goal is to get one from every country in the world. Right. So right now there are about, I think the UN recognizes, 193 or something like that countries in the world. So that's definitely the goal. But I think I'll get more scarves than that just because I've, of course, gotten a lot of duplicates, especially in the UK. They love sending me scarves. So I really appreciate that.
And maple syrup farms has sort of helped you out with this. I was worried about, you know, how much it's going to cost you in the end, the postage of sending syrup to every country in the world.
Right. So originally, I can't just go to the shop and get a bunch of maple syrup. I decided to email a bunch of farms. So I reached out to about, I'd say 10 different farms. And luckily, one got back to me and said they were interested. And then I offered to do some photography work for them and some drone work in exchange, you know, to lower the prices on the syrup. So that definitely helped.
What are you going to do with them? You're going to scarf museum, little exhibition somewhere at some point?
That would be cool one day, who knows? But definitely my plan is to, when I have my own house one day, have a nice room where I can go and watch some football, and then I'll just have the room just covered in scarves all on the walls and on the roof. I think it would be really cool.
And who's your team, Daniel?
Dundee United.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, great choice, but why?
I know, it's definitely not the typical top six Premier League choice, but I have a good friend over there, and he took me to a match, and that was my first kind of UK match, and it was just the most insane experience. It was like a Partick Thistle away game, and I had such a good time that ever since then I've been following them and been watching their games.
Are you seventh in the Scottish Premiership? Are you happy? Are you happy with how they're doing this season?
It's not the best, but I think once the fans get back in there, I think we can hopefully get up to a top five, top four position.
Do you go and watch Toronto as well in the MLS?
Yes, I definitely watch a lot of Toronto FC games. That's definitely my main team. You know, I of course try to support local as much as possible. So we've had a couple of good seasons, making it to the finals. Like I think three out of the four last times. Just we've been doing pretty good, and the atmosphere has definitely been increasing there. So I have a good time every time I go.
And have the scarves made you quite sort of inquisitive? Are you there were teams that you didn't know a great deal about that you've researched once you've received a scarf from?
Yeah, for sure. There was a lot of clubs that I've of course never heard about. You know, different Bosnian fourth division clubs that you wouldn't usually hear. So I had a good time learning about all the different clubs and the places that they are from. That was really something that I was looking forward to, is just, you know, finding out a club in some small Portuguese town and then learning about that town and being excited to go visit there one day. I think that will just be awesome to go watch all those games one day.
That's the thing, isn't it? You go to Netflix and you say, listen, I did this story, I did the maple syrup, I've got all these scarves. I need to do a road trip, right? Yeah. Around the whole world, going to every single country to take in a game in every single place and ask for millions for it. And then, you know, you've basically completed life if you manage that.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing else that I would ask for other than that. That would be an absolute dream come true. Yeah. If I could just travel the world and watch football, that would be amazing.
And have you got a Dundee FC scarf? Has anybody sent you one of those?
Dundee United.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He wants the FC. Has the FC have sent him one? Oh, I just wondered if the other half have sent you one.
No, I haven't gotten any Dundee FC scarf. I don't know.
Well, that would be a nice touch. Even for a United fan, folks. Come on, he just add to the collection.
As long as I keep them far apart.
Yeah, Daniel might hate Dundee and want nothing to do with him. He seems like a nice guy, but
it's his hands across the water. It's bigger than a city rivalry, I'd like to think. So nice one. Well done, Daniel. Thanks very much. A lovely story.
Thank you for having me.
There we are, Daniel Robertson there. Max has just tweeted that. We'll put it out. We'll put the video out on at TSHNJ as well, because it's a hot
story,
isn't it?
I don't know much about Reddit. That sounds like the social media platform to be on, where nice people do nice things. Yeah. What a curious world that must be.
That's right.
Speaking of social media,
theatre of hate.
Many thanks to Simon Day, obviously friend of the show, who has tweeted, I will bet my life that is Max Rushton dancing around the pub.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simon, adding fuel to the fire. Much appreciated.
We all think it is, don't we? We all definitely think that is Max. He's saying, look, it's not me.
I'm protesting too much now,
but we think it is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 1. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.